You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On MLB. I am your host, Tommy Stokey. It is April 10th, Tuesday, and we have a guest on Locked On MLB today, so you don't have to listen to me. For 20 straight minutes, you get a mix of Joe Nocco, who is a writer for us at LockedOnMLB.com. He is our go-to Mets guy. So let's talk to Joe today about the Mets' fast start. 8-1, coming off a sweep of the Nationals, a win last night against the Miami Marlins. How things look ahead, what's surprising so far, and what the key to success has been for Mickey Callaway in his first 2 weeks with the Mets. Locked On MLB is your daily podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We've got NBA and NFL markets covered. We've got a growing team here in Major League Baseball. So, as always, thanks for checking us out. Before we get to that interview with Joe, I want to have our session of Locked On Shohei Ohtani, because we've got more tidbits out on him today, and that's a look at his Cy Young odds, courtesy of Bovada. Not only that, but his MVP odds, and what are the odds that he can get both. So the Ohtani hype rolls on. And then we'll end our show with a look at some other headlines across baseball, some performers, some top performers, injuries, and see how some debuts have gone. Greg Holland, not very good, but we'll get to all of that later. I want to start with Shohei Ohtani. Bovada released odds today. He opened the year at 100-1 to win the Cy Young, I believe. Today, he is 9-1 to only win the AL Cy Young. He is plus 240 to win the MVP only. He is plus 1,600, 16-1 to win both the AL MVP and the Cy Young, and he is minus 300 to win neither. So odds are still that he won't win either, but a good start. He's 2-0, a 2.08 ERA, 13 innings, 3 earned runs. He's given up a homer, walked to 18 strikeouts, lowest whip in baseball. That's just the pitching side of it. Offensively, 3 home runs in 18 at-bats, 421 on base, OPS 1310. So, yeah, safe to say he's the favorite after the first week in the American League. I think his buddy in center field, Mike Trout, might have something to say about it by the end. If Ohtani does drop off, I'm going to guess that it'll be offensively. Pitching-wise, he still looks pretty good. Or I think he'll be able to maintain that more so than offensively as the league adjusts, but we'll certainly find out. If I was going to bet on this, I would throw something on AL Cy Young only at 9-1. I don't think he would get both. And I think he's going to be better as a pitcher than a hitter. So I think the best bet there is 9-1 on Shohei Ohtani to win the Cy Young only. If you want to throw something on minus 300 that he doesn't win either, I don't think that's all that bad either. But that is from Bovada. I like when Bovada sends these out. Last week it was managers on the hot seat. I think Buck Showalter was the best odds. Those are off the board at Bovada now. But I think that's why we saw so many articles last week on managers on the hot seat already, even though it's the first week of the season. And I don't think that Buck Showalter necessarily is going anywhere, and people that know more than me are also suggesting the same. So those odds are off the board, but Shohei Ohtani, I would say 9-1 as AL Cy Young. All right, let's get to our interview with Joe. Joe, again, our Mets expert. We talked Mickey Callaway, the difference from Terry Collins. We talked whether this start changes his optimism for the season. We talked about what could hold this team back. Talked some Adrian Gonzalez. Adrian Gonzalez, that was a signing that a lot of people didn't like for a couple different reasons. One, they're worried about maybe his clubhouse presence, worried about just his overall production, and getting in the way of Dom Smith. So what does his early performance mean for Dom Smith? Let's get to Joe and ask him his thoughts on all that. All right, so we're joined with our first official Locked On MLB guest, and it's contributor, writer, Mets expert Joe Nocco. Joe, how is Mets land today?
Everything is pretty perfect in Mets land for once. I'm sure Mets fans aren't optimistic that it's going to last, but if you take it day by day, things look pretty good at the moment, surprisingly enough.
What is your level of optimism for the Mets right now?
Zero percent. For two reasons, because the Mets are the Mets, number one. Number two, baseball is, you know, could be the tale of 20 seasons in one season. You got 162 games, April to October, a million different things could happen. You know, the Mets are on a nice little winning streak and, you know, 8-1 start here. But as they showed specifically in 2015, all you really need to go to the World Series is like 6 weeks. So, you know, it's April 10th. There's no reason to be pessimistic either, though. You just got to go day by day and wait till it kind of unravels, because as Mets fans know, injuries occur by the thousand. So
you could be
the optimism hasn't kicked in yet.
You could be a good manager with the day by day thought. If you take the season as okay, it's only April 10th. What in these first nine games has impressed you the most?
Well, I mean, you can't hand out awards in 10 days, but if you had to give a manager of the year award, I'd say Mickey Callaway is pretty much the only front runner at the moment. Because him and Alex Cora, actually, in Boston, kind of a similar deal. But I think it's just the fact that Callaway is doing things that are the polar opposite of a Terry Collins team. Not that Terry Collins was necessarily a bad manager, but he was arguably the worst bullpen decision maker anyone has ever seen. Just nothing went his way ever. Whereas Callaway, everything is turning up, you know, like gold. Even Hansel Robles, who started the season at AAA, and rightfully so, and, you know, the minute he came back to New York, Mets fans were, you know, less than content with such a decision. But even he's come in, he's gotten a win, he gave up a home run the other day, I think, to Bryce Harper, but...
Did he point to the sky?
I don't think so, but they're trying to get him away from the quick pitch, too, but he's done it a couple times, and if you look over to the dugout, you can see they're not happy about it. But things like that. And as soon as Mickey Callaway came into spring training, all he talked about was communication, and what seemed like, you know, him just trying to fit in and get off on the right foot and say the right things has actually turned into something legitimate, because... you know, even with the salt and pepper shaker celebration, although that's just like, you know, them having fun, they seem to be having more fun, you know, in 10 games this year than, you know, in the past several seasons under Terry Collins. Even Cespedes, who he's the translator pretty much his entire career up until these last 2 weeks, you know, has been doing all of the interviews and everything in English, and has said more than once that this team is better than the 2015 team. This is the best team he's ever been on. So Callaway's doing the right thing. He's pushing the right buttons. Can he do it for a whole season? Perhaps. But, again, too early to know, but he's doing the right thing so far, and you can't look too far ahead and be prepared for the worst-case scenario when everything is going as well as it is. So I don't want to say optimism again, because, you know, that doesn't really go with the Mets' culture, but things are looking bright at the moment.
Obviously, a lot can change, and there's still 150 games to be played, but is this team, do you believe Cespedes when he says this is better than the 2015 team? Can this team be better than that team?
Well, if you remember 2015, I want to say in like mid-June, John Mayberry Jr. was the Mets cleanup hitter. So, you know, that team wasn't anything super, super insanely talented until Cespedes got aboard, Murphy got hot. You know, that was more of a circumstance streak of right. success there. Syndergaard was a rookie. He wound up winning the only World Series game, getting the win for the Mets in the World Series that year. So now all those pitchers are more mature. They've encountered their injuries, but they've also, encountered ups and downs and not just success, so more likely to rebound. Syndergaard is not even pitching that well right now, according to his standards, and they're still rolling. So I actually do think this team is better, but I think it's better also because it's deeper. The Mets are playing both Darnell and Pulecki behind the plate. They both look pretty solid early on, especially Pulecki. That was thought to have been a problem. They didn't sign Luke Roy, for the 15th straight season. And that's turned out to be a pretty good decision. They re-signed Reyes, and everyone was freaking out because they thought he was going to be the everyday second baseman. Now he's a utility player off the bench. He could steal some bases for you. Flores has always been a fan favorite. He can hit for power. He can spell Gonzalez. They worked him out in the outfield in the offseason. And then you got Nimmo and Lagares, who are doing everything right at the moment, similar to the bullpen situation. Everything the center field position has been doing between Conforto, Lagares, and Nimmo has turned up, solid. So I do think it's a better team because it's deeper. Even with the starting pitching, everyone clamors about the injury-prone, starters, but the Mets legitimately have 9 starting pitchers that they can, trot out there. Some of those moves went under the radar. Everyone kind of forgot about Vargas because he hurt his hand. The Mets also signed A.J. Griffin, who was with the Rangers last year, who didn't do too hot towards the end of the season, but had a pretty good start to the year. He's at AAA right now. Wheeler's pitching this week, but spent some time at AAA. Gudelman and Lugo in the bullpen doing quite well. Matt's had that one shaky start, but even a shaky start, he only allowed 3 earned runs, so it could be much worse. So I do think it's a better team because of the depth, which is something the Mets usually don't have because 2 weeks into the season, you see how thin they are with the injuries, but now, knock on wood, not a lot of injuries, but the depth remains intact.
One of those depth signings that seemed to be a bit of a hot rod of criticism, Adrian Gonzalez signed for the minimum after being traded to the Braves and waived, and it seemed like there was nobody liked that move because, A, Adrian Gonzalez is supposed to be washed up, and, B, the Mets are supposed to be playing Dom Smith. Gonzalez, obviously the big grand slam on national TV that can change some minds and overall seems to be playing well. What do you make of the Adrian Gonzalez experiment, and what does it mean for Dom Smith?
Well, people generally in sports, not just baseball, have a hard time separating time with a name. So Adrian Gonzalez is not, mid-2000s Adrian Gonzalez, but nor does he need to be. Adrian Gonzalez wasn't signed to a big contract. Adrian Gonzalez, can be a 6-7 hitter, if not lower in the order, because the Mets have a well-rounded team. So that signing was fine for me, even from the get-go. And when you have the chance to have a veteran leader in the clubhouse, the guy's been around the league on some very good teams, for the league minimum, why not? Why not take the flyer? It's turned out better, and literally if nothing else comes from that signing, he's already done what he's needed to do for his, small payday. But then on Dom Smith's end, I think that was the first domino to fall for this whole, Mickey Callaway reboot, because he showed up to camp, late, or he missed a meeting, he was late to the meeting, and he got benched, and then he got hurt. We didn't really hear from him much else, but that kind of showed that Callaway, meant business, and it didn't matter about the name of Dom Smith or his prospect status or any of that. He was reprimanded, as anyone else would be, so it seems. So that was maybe a wake-up call for him, which could turn some stuff around. But the guy's been in the majors, a few months. There's no sample size to base any of his current achievements or lack thereof thus far. Look at Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge came up, a few seasons before, a season before his actual rookie season, and he hit, I think, under 200. And then he came back and, did what he did last year. So not all is lost for Dom Smith. However, if anything's going to turn it around, it's not going to be sitting on the bench, watching Flores and Gonzalez get all the playing time. Extended spring training, sent him to Vegas in the PCL and let him hit the ball all over the place. Because people forget, too, because of his size, that he's not really a power hitter as much as he is a contact hitter. He hit over 300 last year in the PCL, so he's very capable. But you just got to get him back on track. And I want to say he's only 22 years old. What's the rush? There's no rush. The Mets had the best record in the National League, albeit it's very early. But, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Headline, Dom Smith is going to be the next Aaron Judge, per Joe Nocco.
I mean, if it works, if it comes into fruition, I'll look like a genius. So might as well run with it.
The other prospect for the Mets, Amed Rosario, what are your takeaways from what we've seen from him early on?
Well, he's much better off in his current role than if they were to do this rebuild and center it around him, because he's not a superstar today. Will he be? Quite likely. We saw what Jose Reyes did alongside David Wright back in the mid-2000s of the Mets' short-lived success. But they got Rosario in a very favorable role. He's batting ninth, as like a second leadoff hitter, although it takes much of the pressure off that it would be if he was the actual leadoff hitter. He's batting behind the pitcher, leading off some innings, finding some success at the plate. He's had a couple strange games, some weird strikeouts, but yesterday, hit one off the wall. It was a good shot. It could have been his first home run of the year had it, carried one or two more feet. But I think they just have him in a very favorable role that I don't think was necessarily the focus of getting this team back on track. I think it kind of just happened naturally, and it's worked out for the best. I don't think Frazier was signed, to take any of the workload off Rosario, but I think the overall thought process of the Mets front office to not do a rebuild and try to compete while this pitching is still intact has benefited Rosario, maybe a little undercover, but it definitely has thus far.
What were your expectations coming into the season for this team, and have these first nine games changed those expectations one way or the other?
I thought the Mets would be better than last year for the sole purpose that the division is, or two purposes, I should say. The division is relatively weak, or should turn out weak, and the second half of the season last year was just, a wash. That was barely even professional baseball. But because even though with a weak National League East, a strong National League that you have to at least consider about, 10 teams in the running for those two wildcard spots in the division, the three division spots in the postseason, I thought the Mets would finish right outside the wildcard hunt, kind of like we saw in 2016 when the Mets and Giants snuck in and the Cardinals were the odd man out. I thought the Mets would be in that position. However, I again, small, and potentially meaningless sample size, but I do have a little more faith in them making the postseason now. Winning the division, still too far away to tell. The Nationals are still a very good team. They have some decent depth. Murphy's still injured. Scherzer finally turned it back on last night, after a weird first week for him. So I do think the Mets could snag one of those wild card spots. Possible they surpass the Nationals in the division. Unlikely, even, I still believe. Again, injuries and everything happen that you can't really prepare for, but this does show that they are capable of, with this team, like you said, with Adrian Gonzalez and Frazier, coming aboard. Not many people were super high on those, but they show that they, they can be role players and they could do, they could have success as a team. Cespedes leads the team right now. I think the 3 home runs and 8 RBI, which is, respectable numbers, but nothing crazy. It's been a well-rounded attack, and if they keep that up, I think they could make the postseason.
Yeah, you look at the rest of their schedule this month. You've got 2 more against Miami. I think you kind of expect to win both of those, at least 2 out of 3, and even against Miami, taking 2 out of 3 on the road is a good thing. And then you're at home for the Brewers and Nationals, and you've got 4 at Atlanta, 3 at St. Louis, and 3 at San Diego. So if you take 5 out of 7 against the Braves and Padres, even if you lose 2 out of 3 to the Cardinals on the road, maybe you hope to get 2 out of 3 at home against the Nationals, but should be a favorable schedule to keep that. I hope I don't get in trouble for using the word momentum, but to keep that momentum going early in the season.
Which is the exact opposite of last season. Last year, There was a rainout, but the Mets' first, I want to say, 32 games originally were against the National League East, which, even though it's a weaker division, you know, divisional games, rivalries, they're a little tougher to win, you know, especially on the road, you know, lining up pitching matchups and stuff. It's not just a walk in the park to where, you know, the Cubs playing the Phillies, you know, they could just run right over a different story or a better team outside the division. So this is the exact opposite, scheduling-wise, that they had last year, which kind of sunk the ship before it even attempted to stay afloat. So that could be big. But they've already done what you'd expect to do. The sweep against the Nationals, you know, maybe not. But, you know, they took two out of three from the Cardinals, who were expected to be a contender outside of the division, you know, at home to start the series, a couple dominant wins, one game that was a little iffy. But then, you know, they're in their six-game winning streak are all against the division. They've just been beating up on lesser quality teams. The Phillies gave them a couple good games, but, again, just too much for, you know, a weaker team that's probably going to do nothing despite some exaggerated expectations from some across the country. But, yeah, if they can keep it up against the lesser teams. If you win 20 out of 25 and you're 20-5 or something along those lines, you pretty much just have to play, you know, decent baseball until the All-Star break, and then you can kind of recalibrate. So it could go a long way, which would be the opposite of last year.
We'll get you out of here with this. What would it take to – what's going to cost them, or what's the concern for this team moving forward? And if you can give an answer besides – health, you get bonus points.
Well, I mean, health is the concern just because it's baseball, and even more so because it's the Mets. So that's there regardless of, you know, Ray Ramirez and the whole training staff. Everyone was applauding when he got fired, but that doesn't change that, you know, the path of these pitchers and these other players with injuries. You know, maybe they could take better care of themselves now, but Harvey is still off, you know, several surgeries, Matt's several surgeries, stuff like that. So that's always a concern, regardless of the team. But what else? What else could be their downfall? Will be a lack of offense behind the pitching, because right now the offense isn't doing a ton of home run hitting, which was kind of expected to, you know, steer the ship here. You know, you got Jay Bruce, Todd Frazier, Cespedes, Conforto, Agon, even Cabrera, Plawecki, Darno, all showing they have some decent power. They can all hit in the teens, 20, 25, 30 home runs, to where Cespedes is leading the team with three right now. Now, that's a good sign because they're not reliant on the home run ball, but they're going to have to pick it up because they're definitely going to need it at some point. So, you know, they've won a lot of close games. They haven't been really blowing people out, you know, a lot of 4-2 games. Things of that nature. You know, they're not scoring a tremendous amount of runs, so the pitching has held up, especially the bullpen, which has been a nice pleasant surprise, considering they only have one lefty in there in Jerry Blevins. But yeah, if that home run ball doesn't start coming, the offense is going to have to pick it up somewhere else. Another non-Terry Collins success story currently is the very quality base running. The Mets aren't fast. They won't see a lot of bases, but a lot of first to third and, you know, scoring on singles in the gap has done wonders for him so far. So if they can keep that up and add the long ball to it, ideally, I don't really see how they can, you know, how they can avoid the playoffs at that point, injuries, you know, pending.
Well, Joe, we will have you back on soon, most likely inevitably after they lose their next six games, now that we're talking about how good things are going. But definitely appreciate your time here talking about them today.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, later. And now for our final segment of the day, let's go around the league and look at some injuries here real quick and send you on your way. Anthony Rizzo, Chicago Cubs first baseman, Ryan Healy, Seattle Mariners first baseman, and Boston shortstop Xander Bogaerts all going on the DL. Healy sprained an ankle. Bogaerts, I think, took a tumble in the dugout or around the dugout. I think it's a broken... A small fracture or something, but they believe that he's gonna be okay. Shouldn't be out too awful long. Healy originally was only gonna miss a series, but they put him on the DL again with the 10-day DL. It makes it easier to do so. Anthony Rizzo is back, started to act up, missed the home opener and is gonna miss a couple days. J.C. Ramirez, Tommy John surgery for the Angels pitcher. Hopefully that's not a sign of things to come for the Angels, because we know that they don't have a ton of depth and they've really battled injuries the last couple of years. Steven Souza, right fielder for the Arizona Diamondbacks, yet to make his debut, a pectoral injury. He had a setback, apparently, the other day, so he's going to be held out for a couple days before getting back. Although I thought I saw he hit two home runs in a extended spring training or simulated game. Apparently felt a little sore. They're still fluid. After he got an MRI, there's still fluid in there. I'm not a doctor, but I'm guessing that means it's not good. He's held back for a couple extra days. Rougned Odor, Texas Rangers. He left last night's game with a hamstring injury. Still waiting for more information on that, but keep an eye out there. Greg Holland made his debut for the St. Louis Cardinals, coming into in a tie game against the Brewers. Four walks, one out, replaced by Bud Norris, replaced a batter or two too late. Milwaukee won 5-4, not a good outing for Greg Holland, but I'm guessing they won't panic quite yet. And then the last guy I want to look at, fantasy owners, start thinking ahead. Nick Senzel, Cincinnati Reds' top prospect. He is in the lineup playing third base tonight, according to C. Trent. So that's a sign of things to come, apparently. Eugenio Suarez went down, broken thumb. Cliff Pennington is one of the guys filling in there. But Senzel could get a call in a week or two, especially with that service time date about to pass. Ronald Acuna hit a double today. I guess we can touch on him a little bit. He might come up. And then Johan Camargo, who's rehabbing, he hit a home run today. So in the minors, I think they held him back partially because Ryan Flaherty is tearing the cover off the ball, and partially because I think Camargo struggled a little bit, but he homered today. And then the Reds also DFAing Giovanni Gallardo after two outings there. The first one, I think he gave up a ton of runs and wasn't very good. So we'll see what happens with Giovanni. But that'll be it for us today. Tomorrow, I believe we're going to have fantasy baseball talk, daily fantasy talk with Wes Anderson. So we'll get him on here tomorrow. Check us out there. Check us out on iTunes, Google Play. You can follow me on Twitter, Stokey Tommy. You can follow Locked On MLB. And check us out at LockedOnMLB.com.